And just from the beginning, I just want to thank this group for, you know, pretty much all the furniture we have that comes from this group. The love that you've shown us, the hospitality. You know, we've had people over our home, and the little we have, we want to share. And we're encouraged by that. Obviously, my wife's 40th birthday party was just a few weeks ago. And that was very encouraging. So it's been 10 months has gone quickly, but so much has happened in them 10 months. And actually, next month, we'll be moving to Norwich. It's here. It's imminent. Let me give you a couple of updates here. Hold on, let me make sure this is on. It's not moving. There you go. Is it moving now? Okay, we can try to... Oh, it's still not moving. Last week we were in Paris, and we went there to encourage the Paris church, and it was fun. We actually had a house church on Wednesday, and my wife and I, my wife spoke to some women there, and I spoke to some men, and not in French. No, I wasn't gifted in languages. But actually most of the people there actually spoke English, which was kind of surprising. And probably better than I do. So that was fun. And then the following day, they actually have a national holiday in France this week. And we had a picnic out in the park. That was a lot of fun. Go to the next one. Next Sunday, we'll be in Dublin. Any Irish here? He's like... Three of you, but you're the only one to put your hand up, sister. Give a round of applause. I'm not going in. Next one. So I'll be in Edinburgh on the 19th, going up to Edinburgh to speak. And the next one. We have our last pre-missions weekend. If you're interested in being on the mission team to Norwich, we have our last pre-mission weekend that weekend. And so if you want to talk to myself or my wife about that weekend, you can come and join us next time. We'll be moving at the end of July. I know. You'll probably have a party after we go. And then our first service will be August 14th. And I want my wife to come on up because we had a friends reunion. You go to the next thing. We had a friends reunion last week, and I'm going to have my wife come up and share, and I'm going to fix this clicker. I'll be right back. Give a round of applause to my wife.
It was really a special time at this friends reunion. What that was, just to re-explain, was a gathering that my husband's friends in Norwich decided to put on for him and some of their friends that really hadn't, Marvin had not seen since he was anywhere from 8 to his teenage years. So some of his friends that attended, he literally hadn't seen for 25 to 30 years. And it was just so special. It was so special to be among, you know, his friends and now my friends. And even just to, as you see, taking pictures, we call that the Norfolk Boys. And it's just amazing, just the stories. Each one of those men really have significant stories and memories that have been built. Way back in yesteryear. So it was really neat to see, especially that night that we had the gathering. There was this big soccer game. I think it was Manchester and who?
Somebody.
And it was a big to-do. And so the fact that these men came and denied themselves instead of being there watching that soccer match was really huge. But I think even as a wife, it was so inspiring to watch these men come in one at a time and just... If you could see their eyes as they looked at Marvin. And my heart was just filled with delight and gratitude because you can see that they were genuinely excited to see their old friend back home. That's what I saw. And just as they spoke, I would, you know, be sitting there talking to their girlfriends or wives or whatever, but I would happen to just look over and just see how connected. Usually the women are like this, but it was really neat to see the men really close and in there. And I mean, how can you catch up with 20, 30 years of time in a 2-hour party? You can't do that. But you can imagine just the subsequent conversations that will follow and just all the work to be done. So that's some of the girls. There were some other girls there that we didn't get to take a picture of before they left, but this one right here, her and her husband actually hosted the party. So it's little do they know their friends are really just doing the mission for us. It's really great. You know, they hosted the party, and she actually read Marvin's book, and she was so cute. It was like a story out of the Bible about the Ethiopian eunuch. She said, yeah, I only got halfway through, and then when I got to the Bible, I just didn't understand, so I put it down. And I said, well, you know, the Bible scriptures. I said, well, you know what? I'd love to get together with you and explain what those scriptures mean. Oh, it'll be so much fun. She said, really? I'd love that. So she'll be the first person studying the Bible. Her name is Debbie. Her name is Debbie.
Great for Debbie.
Yes, please do. Great, Debbie and Rob. But anyway, some other things that happened there at the friend reunion gathering, it was just amazing. Just the impact that God was able to have, because I think, particularly in Norwich, they really, really love their drinking. And you probably already see the beers and everything, right? But what was really cool was through the grace of God, just I felt the power of God and the Spirit within us really helped set the tone for the party. And it was really neat because they even commented to Marvin. They were like, you know, we're on our best behavior. It was the coolest thing because usually they can get going and rowdy and drinking and cursing and da-da-da-da. They were so well behaved.
Like that.
It was encouraging. It really was. It was just so neat to see the influence of God's presence. His light that really covered that room. And there was a different spirit there.
There was.
So much so that later, her husband, Robert, thank you, where is he? That's Robert. He Facebooked me, you know, that Facebook ministry. I believe in Facebook. He Facebooked me later, and he said, you know, if there was an award to be given to you and Marvin for the most smiles, it definitely would be there. And it's funny because he was just, you know, sitting there, kind of quiet to himself, but he's very observant. And really how I took that is he saw the light of God.
Amen.
It's not like we're just smiling for the heck of it. We're happy in Christ. And he felt that. And that's what he commented on. And then later, just the folks that did come to the party, they were so encouraged by the time that they went and told their other friends that they would mutually know. And so there was quite a rumbling going on in Norwich, which was encouraging. And we had people starting to hit us up on Facebook, you know, to be friends and connect. So I'm thinking, little do you know what God is getting you into. Little do you know, she'll be your friend. Oh! So just really exciting. And then even this guy, Ray, right here, he and his girlfriend, they're going to actually, I'm pretty sure, going to host another party get together for those who didn't get to come to the party. So it's so great how God's just using these people, you know, to just move the gospel for us. It is so encouraging. And so, again, because Norwich is such a tight community, they really are very defensive for their relationships. And unless you know someone, you're not getting in. It's very kind of cliquish. It's almost tribal. I mean, they're serious. No joke. And so when you get in with one, you get in with them all. And so what it is we're friends with some of them, and they're bringing us to their friends. And it's really neat. Even, again, Ray, his girlfriend, hit me up on Facebook. This is a really special thing. We only talked for about 30 minutes at the party because she came really late. She's a really sweet woman. And I guess through God's grace, she was so moved by who we were, our lifestyle, our life, that when I hit her up on Facebook, she didn't accept me right away. Marvin found out later because she was too embarrassed by some of the photos that were on her Facebook. And she didn't want me to see them. So she cleaned up her Facebook before she accepted me as her friend.
That's true.
And so, I mean, I'm thinking, wow, and I didn't even open the scriptures with her. Go God! So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of these great God stories that are happening in Norwich, and I'm just so elated to have Martin and Luena joining us. It means so much for us to have some partners in this gospel. And I appreciate their faith, great faith to join us, because they too are stepping out on a major limb to join us. They're leaving their jobs. They're going to go to a new land that's not their own. They're going to embrace and love the Norwich people. In fact, Martin and Marvin went to Norwich yesterday to start getting into some other relationships that were there. So I just appreciate their heart, their service. They're amazing people. You probably already know them. I'm getting to know them a real good way, and very grateful for their heart and their sacrifice. So anyway, thank you for letting me share some of our Norwich stories with you.
Amen. Thank you. Actually, since you talked about Martin and Luena, seeing that they are moving, they own some property in Sydenham. That. In southeast London, they have a two-bedroom close to the overground train. It's $7.50 a month. If you're interested, if you know somebody's interested in renting down in that area, definitely see Martin and Luena. I appreciate their sacrifice. And I appreciate them because I actually feel that they have as much or even more faith because they have no contacts in Norwich whatsoever. They've already decided to come. They did job searches. They have jobs here in London. They did job searches. There's no jobs there. But they're still, 100% committed to the mission. And that means a lot, obviously, for myself. I have family there. I have friends there. But for them, they have nothing. They're going because they believe that God is calling them to the mission out there. And I really appreciate their faith. So give them a round of applause. Amen. Actually, this fella here is Wayne Guerrero. If you've ever been on Friends Reunite, I met him on there. I just recently got on there, and I can't remember what people look like, but I remember the names. You know when you're in class, they go through the roster, what do you call it? That. And you remember names, and you're like, Wayne Guerrero, Marvin Lucas, and it's alphabetical, and you hear these names hundreds of times, every class, So I remember the names. I couldn't remember the person. So when I talked to Wayne, Wayne sent me back and said, "Is this Marvin Lucas?" I said, obviously, yes. And he said, "I remember you." He said, "We would go on cross-country runs, and we would hide cigarettes and matches in your afro." That's a fire hazard right there. You're running and friction and I remember I always felt, sometimes you don't want to admit that you had an afro. And if you do, you think it's a small one, but mine was about that big. It was a serious Jackson 5 moment. And they would, I couldn't even remember this, they were sticking things in my hair, so therefore if they got searched or anything, it was in Marvin's hair. And I didn't even smoke. So that was a funny story. So I'm hearing all these stories about, 30 odd years ago, the afro moment. All right, let's turn over to John chapter 4. Let's get into some scriptures, shall we? John chapter 4, familiar passage. We're going to talk about the Samaritan woman. I'm briefly going to go over this and probably the latter part of this chapter, get into more detail. But I definitely appreciate your prayers and encouragement for the mission. And in John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "When the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to the town town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired as he was from the journey, sat down at the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So what we see here is obviously this Samaritan woman had gone into town. Now, the disciples had gone into town. This Samaritan woman, in the heat of the day, was going to this well. And obviously, we know the story. Obviously, she, you know, Jesus asks her a series of questions, you know, about his true deity and obviously her condition. And as they talk more, she finds out more about Jesus, that he is more than just a Jew. They had an interaction initially about the, you know, Jews and Samaritans don't mix. You know what I mean? And then he starts to get into the really nitty-gritty of her life and to find out that she's had five husbands. That's a lot. Talk about dysfunction. That's a lot. And then he goes on and talks about worship. He says, he's talking about there'll come a time when, you know, we will leave a worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem. And he talks about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And then we jump down to verse 27. It says, "Just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman." Obviously a Samaritan woman. "But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking to her?' Then leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come and see who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?'" And we'll stop there for now. But this passage right here, the reason why the title of the Jar of Sychar, because back in the day, jars were very important. A lot of times, homes wouldn't even have doors or whatever, but they would store valuables in jars. It was a very valuable commodity. Now we use them as ornament jars. Sometimes you'll have a jar right at the front of your door or on the mantelpiece or whatever. But back in the day, they were very valuable commodities. You would store food to keep it fresh. You don't want it to expose to the elements, and also it would keep the light out too. There you go. Already said that. And probably if you have a jar for water, probably that jar is the only jar you have. And what we see from this passage, this woman obviously had this interaction with Jesus. And she literally forgot why she went to the well. And obviously there's this interaction about being thirsty and you know, I'm going to give you living water. And obviously there came a point where she was so inspired by Jesus, she forgot her thirst, she forgot her needs, she forgot her jar, and she left her jar, one of the most valuable commodities you could have, at the well, to go and share the news about Jesus. Well, let's look at this woman's progression of faith. First, she had to overcome the prejudice of the Jews. She was ultimately convicted by Christ, by her life. She repented of her sins, what we can deduct from the passage. She went from the physical to the spiritual because she came to have physical water and she left having the life spring of the water of life. Have we talked about this? And also it's amazing when you look at the revelation of Jesus. If we go to verse 9 here, it says, "You are a Jew," the second sentence there. In verse 11, he says, "Sir." Jesus went from a Jew to a sir. In verse 19, he says, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet." So he went from a Jew to a sir, to a prophet. And in verse 25, the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. This woman had a progression of revelation. And if you're visiting here today, and a lot of times we say, who is this Jesus? And some of us may say, well, he's a Jew. Some of us may say he's a rabbi, a teacher. Some of us may say he is a prophet. A lot of beliefs out there believe, other religions say Jesus is a prophet, but he's not the Messiah. But this woman saw, and God opened up her heart and her mind to the revelation that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Kind of cool, huh? And ultimately, this woman found a purpose. But it's amazing, as this woman went back to town, she had every reason to be quiet. This woman is not the poster child of being a great example. Obviously, she was embarrassed by her sin because she went to the well in the heat of the day. Nobody goes to the well in the peak of the heat of the day. Only people who don't want to be around other people. We sometimes do that. It's like, you know what, well, I don't want to go over there right now. I'll wait an hour. Sometimes when we're embarrassed about our sin, we kind of skirt around the fellowship. We avoid certain people. Oh, there's Mike, and oh, there's Julie. And this woman, obviously embarrassed by a situation. Obviously, she had the Samaritan and Jew conflict. She had five husbands. She was living in sin. She had a bad reputation in town. I don't know if she had five husbands and you're living with someone too. Her reputation wasn't the best. Why would people listen to her? And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we look at our past, we look at what we've done, what we haven't done. We look at, I should be further along than I am, I've got so much sin in my life, I'm even embarrassed to be around the fellowship because I've messed up so much. But it's amazing when Jesus really grabs hold of you and takes hold of you that you forget yourself, you forget your past, you forget your sin. And you preach the Word of God. But some of us are holding on to the past. Sometimes God has forgiven us, but we won't forgive ourselves. It's amazing when we are filled up with Christ, how we can forget our past. Even the reason why we are even here. Let's read verse 30. Are you with me? I always like to read familiar passages because sometimes, I imagine most of us in here have read this 100 times. But sometimes like, oh, I've never seen that before. Surprising that we need to look into God's Word very deeply and even start to get into what people are thinking and feeling and what they're going through and what the dynamics are and so on and so forth. The intimacies of the Scriptures. Very important. Let's read on here in verse 30. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. This is the people. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Kind of interesting. I'll come back to that rabbi thing in a moment. Just put that on the mantelpiece right there, the mental mantelpiece, and I'll come back to that in a little bit. It says, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the harvest field. They are ripe for the harvest. And even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvest harvests the crop of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Lest the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. And I honestly believe here that Jesus was rebuking the disciples because they were still talking about the physical. He's saying, do you understand the food that I'm talking about? He just had a conversation with the woman about living water. I understand you're thirsty, but if you come here with your jar every single day, you'll always have a physical thirst. But what I'm offering you is a refreshment that will last a lifetime. That you'll always be refreshed. That the Holy Spirit will always revive you. That you'll wake up in the morning wanting to see what God will do in the day. Not like, oh, I gotta go to work. Oh, the kids are crying. Or the cat's scratching at the door. At about 6 o'clock this morning. I love that furry thing. Little jinx. But what Jesus is saying here, he says, there are things going on right now that you know nothing about. And I believe he's talking about this Samaritan woman. This woman is doing things and saying things to the town folk that you have no idea about. What is the irony in there? They went to the same town to get bread that the woman went back to. I'll touch on that in a little bit. But I truly believe with Norwich that God is already cultivating a harvest that we've had nothing to do with. Well, you may say, well, the church is not there. God can work through many other things than a church. When I talk to these people's lives and understand the divorces that they've been through, the loss of their parents and the hard life they've lived, and it doesn't surprise me, after 40 odd years of that, there must be a better way. And I truly believe that we will reap a harvest that we have not even sowed. God works. Some of us say, well, you know what? I believe God is working in your life, even if no one's in your life. God will bring you to your knees one way or the other. Short time or long. But God will draw you to repentance. Let's read on in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him and became because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the what? One more time. Truly, do we believe that he is the Savior of the world? Is he a Jew, a sir, a prophet, or a Savior of the world? You know I like my comparisons. I think one person told me once in the group here they like the comparisons, so I do them all the time. I kind of say, yeah, they love it in the East when I do these comparisons. So I haven't stopped. The disciples were the chosen ones. I'm just deducting from this passage. Get into the mind of Marvin. It's a scary place. These disciples spent months with Jesus. They had every reason to be open. I mean, a lot of these disciples had a pretty good resume. They were very young. They didn't have five wives. They weren't embarrassed by their life. They were fishermen. A lot of them came from a good heritage. They came from the city the woman was from. They were oblivious of the harvest. They told no one. Things that make you go, They came back with no one. They went for bread, the physical. Obviously, they angered Jesus. And ultimately, what we see from the passage, they didn't call him Messiah, we see Rabbi. Okay? The Samaritan woman was hated by the Jews, and had a bad reputation. She only spent hours with Jesus. And I'm being generous with hours. Okay? She had every reason to be quiet. She went to Sychar, saw the harvest, told the town. Many of the town came out and believed. She brought refreshment, which was spiritual, the living water. They just came back with bread. We got some food. Did somebody bring him some food? Huh? What's he doing? Is he bringing him some food? Sometimes the people who should understand the will of God, who have spent years with Jesus, are in open places and they're not bringing in the harvest.
Come on, Marvin.
A lot of us are in our workplaces and we're oblivious of the harvest. A lot of us are in our neighborhoods and oblivious of the harvest. A lot of us are with our families for years and oblivious of the harvest. And sometimes it just takes. Sometimes God works through people that we feel are downtrodden, that are ignorant, that even from Norfolk. I remember one comment from one of my neighbors. He said to me, "You know what, Marvin, you know in Norfolk, don't they have six fingers there?" God can work even in Norfolk. That makes me angry. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, okay. Even after all that time, they were still thinking about the physical. Some of us are still so consumed with our work, our job, our finances. We are so overcome by worry and stress. We're living in this bracket. And ultimately, this angered Jesus, and I really believe it's our perspective on who God is and who Jesus is that literally puts us from one category to another. I believe if we believe that Jesus was the Savior of the world, we would change the world around us. I believe if we have a mission team that believes that Jesus is the Savior of the world, we will change an orange. I believe if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, you will change your workplace. I believe if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, you will change your neighborhood and your family and your friends. We can do amazing things. And it's not a process. It can happen in a matter of minutes. If we believe. This is my Sychar, the city of Norwich. So, yeah, thank you. This is us leaving our jobs 10 months ago, selling our stuff. Some of these lamps are kind of jar-like. I don't see any jars. We didn't have too many jars, did we? We had small. And this is us 10 months ago coming with our luggage. Kids are a lot bigger now, aren't they? Jesus will make you forget why you came. Jesus came to make you Jesus can make you overcome your past. You can get to know Jesus quickly. Even if you're visiting for the first time and you may not even feel like I even believe in Jesus. I was an agnostic, a pagan, an atheist. I started studying on a Monday, and that following Sunday I was baptized. In that process, I went from not believing Jesus to even being I thought he was a mystical figure. By that Sunday, I understood that he was the Savior of the world. Have you heard this song? Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain, my efforts to be raised again, unless I live for others. And when my work on earth is done, my new work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown of one while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, others, yes, others. Others, Lord, yes, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I may live for thee. Anybody know that song? It was written in 1917. Anybody around then? Sometimes I feel like it. Beautiful song, though, isn't it? We have an opportunity today with our special missions for a moment to put down our jobs, put down the physical, and have an opportunity to give to the spiritual. For you, it's a moment. A moment that you decide that I'm going to deny myself the physical and do something for Jesus. And I want to encourage us today to think of others. Obviously, our mission today is going to India and also for Norwich. But I want us to really understand the Samaritan woman's heart. I just for a moment forget why you came here. Just for a moment forget about your worries and your strife and think about the Savior of the world, the Savior of India, the Savior of London, the UK, and even Norwich. So thank you for listening to me today, and keep us in your prayers. Amen.
Thank you, Marvin. I certainly was very convicted by the lesson this morning, and I hope you were too. At this point, we'll take some time to think about the missions collection. I'm just going to explain what we'll be doing over the next few minutes. Just to clarify about the collection, we've obviously had the privilege of having Marvin and Sharice here and their family for a year. So there are some opportunities to give to the Norwich mission planting. So on the envelope that you'll find beside you, we will be you're going to need a pen. I'm going to pray in a little while just before we take up the collection, but you'll need a pen to write down some details because we have an opportunity to give to Norwich, the mission planting there, and also to our sister church in India that we support in Hyderabad in India. Every year we take up a collection for that church there. You can choose how you as an individual can choose where you want your missions giving to go to. That is your choice, but you need to write that on the envelope. So during the next song and after the prayer, please write on the envelope. You have a, if you want it to go 50-50, which is what is suggested, then just write 50/50 beside your name and other details that you write on that piece of paper. If you want it to go to 100% to the Norwich Church, you can do that. So if you want all your collection to go to Norwich, please write on the envelope 100% to Norwich. If you leave the envelope blank, it is implied you are happy with 50-50. All right, so if the envelope is blank, it will be assumed that you are giving 50% to India and 50% to Norwich. So the envelopes will be used to collect cash or checks. For those, I know there's some people who are absent today, or those who maybe have forgotten the cash or forgotten the check. If you do not have a check or cash with you, you can still write on the envelope the amount that you'd like to give, sign it and put all the other details, whether 50-50 or 100% Norwich. Write that information down there and bring the money next week or the next opportunity. So you can still give virtually. Man, isn't that amazing? But of course you will be asked to give in the cash at some later time. If you're writing a check, thank you. If you're writing a check, it's made payable to ICCM. So please write on the check ICCM and then the monies will be corrected in that way. Why don't we go to God in prayer? And then we'll have a song, and please take some time to contemplate, write the amount you want to give, and put the money in the envelope or the check. And as I said, if you can't do the exact giving today, please write, still give in the envelope, and then bring in the actual amount that you put down on that envelope. You can bring it next week. Let's say a prayer this time. Father, we want to thank you so much for an opportunity now to think of others. Father, we know that other people thought of us and have allowed us to enjoy the incredible blessings of being in your kingdom. Father, from the story we just heard in John chapter 4, we are reminded of a need for a Savior. And Father, you are our Savior. Father, help us to be reminded when we go to work tomorrow that you are our Savior. And help us to be like the Samaritan woman and be excited about letting others know who you are. Father, as we think about our sisters and brothers around the world, and as we think about an opportunity now to give, I pray, O Lord, that you will take away the just the way we see money, God. We often see it as our Savior and as the thing that will bring us peace and joy. And yet, Father, everyone here knows that that is not the case. Father, please help us to give joyfully and gladly to these missions. I pray that you bless those going to Norwich and that we will see fruits of their faith in days, weeks, and months to come. Thank you for allowing that team to go ahead from the vision of Marvin and Cherise, God. I pray for Hyderabad, God, our church that we support in India. We pray that we will always, Father, think of them with great faith. And as much as we're giving to them financially, we know that they are giving more back to us with their faith and their vision. Father, we're very thankful and we're very grateful for this opportunity to give. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If I can have the song lead us up, we'll have a song at this point.